Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. I am joined today from Chicago by Ted Banks. Ted is a longtime compliance professional, having served both in-house and outside counsel for compliance programs. Ted is going to be speaking at the 2018 Compliance and Ethics Institute on the topic of ethical considerations for compliance officers and lawyers. It's such a good and juicy topic. We thought we'd have a conversation about that today. So, Ted, first of all, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today and for doing the session at the meeting.
Well, you're welcome, Adam. I'm glad to be here.
So, first, can you go over some of the ethical risks that compliance officers and counsel face?
The idea that a compliance and ethics officer should be cognizant of ethics seems sort of obvious, and parts of it are and parts of it aren't, which I think is interesting. So I would start from the very basics that the compliance officer has to set an example. So they have to be demonstrating ethical conduct all the time, and they have to be fairly firm about what is appropriate and what isn't. But they also have to know how not to be a jerk about it. Even though it seems far removed from ethics, a lack of political skills, in other words, how to talk to people, how to work through corporate bureaucracies, how to understand the motivations of people you're dealing with, those sort of failings mean that someone can't accurately convey ethical standards, and it may be the failure of a compliance officer as a compliance officer. And the concept is compliance officer is a gatekeeper designed to help preserve the ethical conduct of the organization, and many legal regimes that require compliance and ethical behavior depend on those gatekeepers. And particularly in certain areas of the law, we've seen personal liability for compliance officers who failed in that role. Areas are securities fraud, bank failures, medical devices, money laundering. One of the most interesting cases that I've run across that articulates the ethical obligations and failings of a compliance officer is from Judge Ruben Castillo from the Northern District of Illinois in United States versus Caputo. And here's what he said. Caputo selected Riley, and Riley is a compliance officer, to serve as Abtox's chief compliance officer for all the wrong reasons. Caputo knew that he could manipulate and dominate Riley based on his prior personal and business experiences with him. Riley did not have any real training as a compliance officer. Riley aided and abetted Caputo's illegal marketing plans. Riley chose to use whatever regulatory expertise he had to further shield and cover up the offenses proven at trial. So that's the example of all the things that a compliance officer shouldn't do. But what it means is that a compliance officer needs to stand up for what is right when he or she sees something going on. And I think that there are some guidelines that a compliance officer can follow, in addition to being smart about it, in other words, what I call political skills. The compliance officer has to know that there are obligations not just to the company, but also to the public at large and to the sort of the profession of compliance officers. And these are captured in the SCCE Code of Professional Ethics for Compliance and Ethics Professionals. And let me just mention a few of the highlights from this code, because I think every compliance officer should review it, available on the SCCE website, because it crystallizes the obligations in a very sensible way. First of all, in obligations to the public, the ethics officer shouldn't aid or abet in misconduct. You should do whatever you can to prevent misconduct. You should always cooperate with official investigations. And if you become aware of anything going on improperly in the company, you should really not consent to the wrongdoing. You should escalate it to the highest governing body in the company. And if the bad conduct persists, then you have to consider what your next steps are. Is it resignation? Is it reporting it to public officials? Now, the obligation to the organization employing the compliance officer means that you as a compliance officer really have to be competent and professional in all you do. You have to make sure that the organization complies with the relevant laws. And if there's a problem that comes up, you need to investigate with due diligence, keep senior management informed, and of course, never aid or abet retaliation. The compliance officer will be exposed to confidential information, and of course, you have to protect the confidentiality of what you know, avoid conflicts of interest, don't mislead the organization about the results that you as the compliance officer can achieve. And then in order for the whole profession to maintain its respect, the compliance officer has to remember that he or she is speaking for colleagues. And so everything should be done with honesty, fairness, and diligence. Confidential information shouldn't be disclosed because compliance officers have to be trusted. And obviously, you shouldn't mislead anyone about your qualifications and experience as a compliance officer. You don't badmouth other compliance officers, and you make sure that you're up to date on legal developments and developments in the compliance world.
So, sorry for those coughs and interruptions, Ted. Keep going.
Okay. So remember that other professions have ethical obligations too, you know, medical professionals, engineers, accountants, etc. But of course, a lot of people involved in compliance are lawyers, and every state has its lawyers' code of professional responsibility. They're all a little different, but basically the same, and most are based off the American Bar Association's model rules of professional responsibility. But there are some things in there that a lot of lawyers aren't aware of that bear directly on their function in compliance. So first of all, lawyers are expected to be competent in their profession, and that includes, under recent amendments to the rules, knowledgeable about technology used. And so that means that you need to know what is possible to be used to facilitate your rendering of compliance services, and also understand where there may be new risks to compliance based on technology. There's an obligation for lawyers to maintain confidentiality of what they've been told. And this is a pretty strong rule. You know, the lawyers know that the identity of someone who's committed a murder in the past can't reveal it. But if someone decides to disclose something, once it's disclosed, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, and it can't become re-confidential. So the limitations on revealing confidential information are pretty narrow. You are allowed to reveal information to prevent bodily harm, or in some states it's expanded to prevent commission of a crime, but it complicates the ability of a lawyer to be a whistleblower and talk about what might be happening.
And that's an issue in general for compliance officers. I mean, there's a lot of discussion over whether the compliance officer should ever become a whistleblower. Maybe we should talk about that issue.
Sure. And I guess it's fair to say that the guidance of the cases are sort of all over. But here's how I would summarize it. Most compliance officers, if they're not lawyers, will sign a confidentiality agreement that will limit their ability to, you know, reveal business confidences. I recommend that instead of just blindly signing that kind of agreement, it should be reviewed by a lawyer to make sure that it doesn't require a compliance officer to be involved in illegal conduct. In some cases, people have revealed to enforcement agencies knowledge they have about violations of law, and essentially they've been excused from the obligations under the confidentiality agreement. However, that should be done very carefully because the cases still are not consistent. What clearly will not be given much sympathy is revealing violations to the press. So if we're being a whistleblower, we're talking about to an enforcer not leaking a juicy tidbit to the New York Times. As much as that might be attractive just because you're frustrated with the inability to stop some bad conduct, really that won't get much sympathy for lawyers or for non-lawyers. So the mostly what the advice is, both for under the SCCE code of ethics and for the lawyer's model code, is if you see wrongdoing, you report it up the chain of command, and you keep going up until you get action. Or if you don't get action, then for lawyers, the model rules are sort of, they say one thing and the states differ about whether the confidential information can be revealed to the extent necessary to prevent substantial injury to the organization. Because the lawyer and the compliance officer, they're representing the entity, the business entity, not any one individual. So you stop and think, is this going to hurt the company? If so, what can I do to stop it? And it's always difficult. And at the end of the day, I think the compliance officer really is faced with the dilemma of what to do. If appropriate, then you do talk to an enforcer, because that really is how you're going to protect the organization.
Yeah, it's
One of
definitely.
the
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was gonna say one of the things that lawyers misinterpret is the difference between compliance and ethics. And there are situations where some people might want to hide behind the fact as well, technically it's legal and I don't know anything more about it, so I'm not going to do anything. But as part of the lawyer's ethical obligations, it says that knowledge can be inferred from the circumstances and you cannot ignore the obvious. So trying to hide behind some sort of technicality when you know something is wrong is an ethical violation. The other thing that lawyers sometimes hide behind is narrowly defining their role as well. They ask me a question about the law, I'm just going to answer the question and not doing anything more. But the rules of professional responsibility say that your job is to exercise independent professional judgment and render candid advice. In rendering advice, you may refer not only to the law, but to other considerations such as moral, economic, social, and political factors that may be relevant to the client's situation. So lawyers who are knowledgeable about the whole context of a matter, including the ethics involved, are supposed to tell their client about it and not just say, here's the legal answer. And there's another rule that lawyers sometimes hide behind, which is, in general, a lawyer is not supposed to give advice unless asked by a client. However, the rules say when a lawyer knows that a client proposes a course of action that is likely to result in substantial adverse legal consequence to the client, the lawyer's duty to the client may require that the lawyer offer advice if the client's course of action is related to the representation. So that means that the lawyer should speak up and not just sit back and let something happen and say, well, they didn't ask me. That doesn't work.
Well, and all of this, you have the layer of complexity to be added with what happens if the lawyer is not acting as a lawyer, but as a compliance officer who happens to be a lawyer by training. Well, Ted, I think this has been a great conversation that I wish we could go on for a lot longer, but that's what really the session at the conference is about, not our brief podcast. So I want to thank you for sharing these thoughts with us today. I look forward to what you have to share in October at the 2018 Compliance and Ethics Institute. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.